triggered your memories. Every one of you is hearing my words differently. Why? Because you have brought your entire life into this room. Where one person is not where another one is. This embodiment, what you might even call this incarnation of your humanity, is the existential reality of our human existence. And art starts there. Now, let me give you another poem before we get too far off. This is a poem you probably don't know. It is a 17th century poem in which a man is sending a rose to his beloved, and he gives the rose some instructions. It's by Edmund Waller. If I had a rose, I would hold it and talk to the rose, but these, I think, are a little too abundant. Go, lovely rose, tell her that wastes her time and me, that now she knows, when I resemble her to thee, how sweet and fair she seems to be. Tell her that's young and shuns to have her beauty spied, that hadst thou sprung in deserts where no men abide, thou wouldst have uncommended died. Small is the worth of beauty from the light retired. Bid her come forth, suffer herself to be desired, and not blush so to be admired. Then die, that she, the common fate of all things rare, may read in thee how small a part of time they share that are so wondrous, sweet, and fair. Now, I want to point out one thing. Where does that poem go from being merely lovely to heartbreaking? It's when he starts the final stanza, it's his instruction, then die. Which you don't expect, but it gets to the very sort of root purpose of art, which is that our existence is ephemeral. The things that we love and we enjoy are ephemeral. How can we find a way, in a sense, of preserving them? Every poem, every work of art at some level has what the scholars call et in arcadia ego, which is the skull in the garden, which says that no matter what of our illusions, that our love will last till the end of time, that we recognize the mortality of our physical existence. And it's that plangency that's central to art.